loser from what the man. Still no man, the snow from the deserts at the hottest sand.
Hello, everybody. This is welcome to another episode of the Fabulous Modern Man podcast. The guests just keep on coming. It's incredible. Another person that until very recently I hadn't come across. I've been doing my research on you, mate. I'm really looking forward to speaking with you and finding out a bit more about you. This is Mr. Simon King, everybody, all the way from looking like a very sunny Glasgow. Is it Glasgow you're in?
Edinburgh, just outside Edinburgh.
Sunny Scotland-ish.
Yeah, for Scotland out.
How's it going, mate? Please introduce yourself, man. Just tell us who you are and what you're up to at the minute, and then we'll dive in and have a proper chat.
Cool. First of all, I just want to say thanks for having me on. Very, very grateful for your time. And it's an honour to be on. So, I'm Simon King, 37 years young, live just outside Edinburgh, father of two, and I am involved in a couple of businesses now. But prior to that, I was in kind of high-end retail and logistics. Left school at 15, not really knowing what I wanted to do. Kind of just fell into retail, going from job to job, and had a few struggles. Had a lot going up in my upbringing, my family environment financially and within sort of mental health issues was massive, and I didn't really understand the impact that was having on me. And things kind of spiraled out of control for me, and in 2009 I actually ended up homeless for 6 months. And it was kind of at that point that I had to make a decision. I kind of hit this. I was as low as I could be, and I made a decision that I needed to change. And that's when I sort of attracted personal development and came across a man called Bob Proctor, who was in the movie The Secret. It was the first time I'd kind of heard anybody say that, that you could do, be, or have anything that you wanted by following some principles. That actually the reality that's in front of you doesn't have to stay that way and that you can change it. And, from there I kind of grew and changed, and I set some massive goals for myself, which I hit both in a very short time. Fast forward to today, I now have the honour of working with Bob Proctor and his wife. I get to help people change their life in a very positive way, and I'm involved in a lot of work in Edinburgh, projects within schools, talking to kids. And as I say, I've got two beautiful kids, and life's good, man. Life's good.
Good, awesome. So you're coming from a good place now. Before we enter into that conversation, I do want to just speak to you about a couple of little bits. Obviously, one of the things you talk about is like your childhood. And stuff like that. Do you want to give us a bit more of kind of like what was the lead up to you? I mean, becoming homeless. How old were you then?
I was 27 when that happened, and I'd been homeless a couple of times before that, but just not to that. As in, like bouncing around people's houses and friends. Because my life was just chaos. It was just chaos. So I grew up in a single family from the age of seven. And there'd been a lot of stuff going on before that when my mum and dad were still together. There was drink, there was abuse. There was a lot of abuse growing up, pretty much right throughout. And actually looking back, I was suffering from depression probably from about the age of 13 or 14. That I just wasn't aware of. As I said, I touched on briefly, I left school at 15 and got a job. And things kind of came back up when I started working. I had a couple of years of feeling pretty good. And then just slowly but surely things started to get on top of me. I mean, I was a party boy, I went out and, but that involved, drink, drugs, and some other things going on, but it was it took a few years for it to catch up with me. And in between that, I was in bouts of depression that I just didn't know I was. I ended up suicidal a couple of times, and very, very close to actually taking my own life. And I never really addressed any of those issues actually properly until I hit 30. I'm 37 now. Yeah. So the build up to me ending up on the, homeless. And again, I was fairly fortunate even in that situation because I wasn't an addict. I was in a homeless B&B for that time. So I wasn't actually on the street. But it was still a horible time. It wasn't good.
I've just put a post up on my social media this morning. Every Friday I have a Fidel's Friday Debates. Okay. And they often cause a bit of a stir. And today I put up two statistics.
Yeah.
One of them was that 87% of rough sleepers are men, and 95% of the prison population are men.
Yeah.
Simple question as to why, the two sort of worst situations in a modern society being locked up or sleeping on the streets.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's not just a third of these people or two thirds. This is 95% of prisoners are men, 87% of rough sleepers are men. This is a huge disparity.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you learned through your time around that would point to what some of those reasons might be?
I'll be honest, I believe, and especially over the last year or so, everything I've been learning, and I've done a lot of with the project I'm involved that we can talk about the school. I had to go through a lot of training, and I learned an awful lot about trauma in children and what that leads to.
Yep.
Kind of, they come under the tag of adverse childhood experiences.
Right.
And there's a lot of research and statistics being done on things and what that can lead you to if you go through certain things, and especially if you're at the higher end of those adverse childhood experiences.
Yeah.
The statistics are incredible. But for me, it's, it all comes back to connection. Whether it be around, whether you end up in prison, whether you end up homeless, whether you end up on drugs, whatever, health harming behaviors that you have that then lead you to being homeless or being in prison or, other things or suicide, all stems from that lack of connection in childhood, and looking, you attach, I know myself, that everything that I did, when I was doing drugs, when I was drinking, when I was in the wrong crowds, I was looking for connection with people, with things. And there's actually an interesting video on YouTube as well that talks about a study that was done around drugs.
Yeah.
That they did on a couple of on rats, and it showed that when a rat was on its own, disconnected essentially, and it was given the choice of water that was clean and water that was laced with drugs, it became addicted to the water with the drugs.
Yep.
But when they were put in an environment that was supportive, as in like other rats and things to do, when they were given the same two options, they went for the clean water.
Well, I was having this conversation the other day. I read a piece about, I'll tell you what, I watched that program about the young black guys in America. There's that two-part documentary, I think it was on Netflix, they were wrongly imprisoned for a rape and murder, and Now They See Us, I think it was called. Yeah. And they looked at, one of them was like in prison for like nearly 30 years, but he was in solitary. And it got me thinking that, even today, if you look back throughout history, the highest punishment that you can put on a human being is to banish them from the collective, right? To banish them from society. And that is still the same thing. Like a solitary confinement in prison is still the worst thing you can inflict on a human. Like we're not designed to be alone, right? Yeah. We are pack animals. We need to be connected, like you said. And it was interesting because I kind of, like a lot of people these days are disconnecting themselves I just, I looked at my day today, right? I've just driven from Bedfordshire back to Bristol, and now I've got all day. I'm literally going to be sat here. I've got back-to-back calls, and sometimes I can do that for like 2 or 3 days when I'm speaking to clients. I'm actually not, although we're connecting and we're talking, it's not quite the same. And I noticed actually that was having an impact for me. I'm very like extroverted. I really need to be around people as well for my own sort of sanity and my own energy levels. It's quite interesting. And so when we talk about connection there, that is quite distinct between men and women, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think women, well, there's quite a lot of statistics around that women have a higher amount of closer friends. I think it's around 8, they average, whereas men average 1 to 2, what they call close friends. So connection levels are different. I've got some other stats here that I was reading today about drugs. Men are 3 times more likely than women to report frequent drug use. 2/3 of drug-related deaths are men. And there's something about alcohol here as well. Men are 3 times more likely than women to become alcohol dependent.
Yeah.
Like, again, the stats are quite disparate, isn't it? The difference.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same if you look at, you know, the suicide rate.
Well, I think, well, these are all the leaders, aren't they? They're all the drivers for that suicide rate. When you start looking at these numbers, that number makes a lot more sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, something I've learned again over the last year or so is that when you know, people are very easily, you know, oh, that guy's an alcoholic, that guy's a drug addict, that guy's a criminal, you know, that guy's whatever. But actually it all stems from the same thing. It's just that's the road that they've ended up going down.
For sure.
Maybe their environment or, you know.
I'm a big believer at looking at prevention rather than cure and looking as low down as we can get to try and solve the problems before they get that bad. And that's what the Modern Man Community Interest Company is kind of all about. It's about trying to provide male-only spaces and trying to... There's a lot of people out there doing work with suicide and depression and all of that sort of stuff. But for me, I'd rather look at preventing it. What can we do to affect lifestyle changes and choice changes earlier on in life and things we can do in society to prevent it in the first place?
Yeah, listen, 100% there for you. And part of what I'm involved in with this project is doing that. You know, we're talking to kids at an age to raise the awareness and let them know that what they're maybe going through isn't normal and that there is help out there. You know, if I had somebody when I was 14, 15 tell me the things that I'm sharing with these kids, you know, I probably lost a decade of my life trying to, in this mess that I was in, the chaos that I was in before I came out of it. And I've spoken to a lot of people that have been down similar paths and they all say the same thing. You know,
do you think that there's something in that journey though? Like, I don't know whether some of us kind of have to find out that stuff ourselves for the impact.
It's another thing I've debated with myself several times because where I'm at now in my life and the man that I've become, you know, I believe that everything that I've experienced, you know, and I guess it comes down to your own beliefs, spiritually, religiously, you know, whatever. But, you know, I do believe that everything that I've experienced has been for a reason and that where I am today and being able to help more and more people is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. Yeah. And I know that that's only going to get bigger and better as I keep going. So, you know, the way I look upon my past now is very different. You know, I actually see it as a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, which took me a long time to get to because for a long time I did not see it as a blessing. I couldn't be doing the things that I'm doing if I hadn't experienced what I'd experienced. So yeah, you know,
I had a call today from a guy who's in my men's club, and he's been on a retreat with me. I've done a little bit of therapy work with him, but he messaged me yesterday and was just like, "Can we have a call?" And so I was on the drive. I gave him a bell. And it was quite interesting. He was saying to me, he said, "I've had this realization that every time I've been on the brink of doing something I really want to do, it all goes wrong." And he said, "Now I'm on the brink of doing something I really want to do. That, like, and this is me. This is my truth. This is what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. Yeah. And I've got this horrible feeling that it's all going to go wrong." And I was like, "Well, maybe all those things didn't go wrong. Like, they all happened to end you up here. With your opening sentence to me was the right one. yeah. This is me. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. I said, full stop, the end. Everything else has led you to this point now. So maybe it didn't fail. It's just a different perspective on the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, one of the things I've been learning and still learning from Bob and his mentorship is that, you know, as you raise your awareness, you know, the stuff that I'm now learning and doing, I wouldn't have had the awareness to do this.
Like, yeah, for sure.
In fact, I wouldn't have been ready. So, you know, that for me, that then backs that up, that feeling of that those things and those failures. And, you know, I always fail forward. You know, that's been something that's got me through a lot of stuff is that when I've failed, I've been able to pick myself up and go, right, what have I learned from that and how can I change that moving forward? Whereas now what I'm learning is it's just much more focused and a better awareness and understanding of how the mind works and how you channel that and change those behaviours.
Yeah. I want to talk to you about something we were just discussing before I pressed record. Yeah. And that was kind of like, we were talking about masculinity.
Yeah.
And that sort of stuff and the sort of coaching space. and the sort of the state of it really and yeah. Kind of how people are. And you said you put a video out in a WhatsApp group that was tell us about the video. What was it? What was the content and then what was the reaction to it?
Yeah, so it's just a video that I watch a lot that fires me up really and it kind of hard hitting. It's got quotes in it from I don't know if you heard a guy in the States called Eric Thomas.
Oh yeah.
One of my favorite guys to watch, especially when I need to kind of kick up the butt myself.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy.
He just tells it straight, and you know, actually, as I've grown, I'm much more like that myself in the way that I'm speaking to people and trying to help people. But yeah. So I put this in this group that I'm in. And just shared it and said, hey, you know, just wanted to share this, one of my favourite videos. Hope it, you know, gives you some benefit. And then I was talking to somebody in that group, like face-to-face, a lady, and she was talking about that it was a very masculine video. And, you know, we were just talking, and I just said to her, you know, I was like, actually, your interpretation of masculinity has actually been direct. Like that was my interpretation of what she was saying to me. Yeah. And it's, you know, and that's what we were kind of talking about before we hit record.
I would agree in a way with probably what she was saying, that it probably was a very masculine video and it was very direct. Yeah. And I think that does come with masculine energy. I guess, did she see that as a negative?
Yeah. Yeah.
And there for me is the problem.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Well, I then had to say, because then what I said to her was like, you know, I'm also a very, you know, it's a yin and yang, you know, it's the masculine with the feminine, you know, and I've got a very soft and gentle side to me as well.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's balanced, you know, and depending on what environment and what time, you know, sometimes there is a time for that gentleness and softness, you know, and if we're talking about ourselves as people, like there's times where, you know, I call it hustle and flow. So it's like you hustle hard. But then you step back and just let it flow, meaning that it's understanding who you are as a person and knowing when you need to rest. Like I've just had 3 days that I've been full on. I've been doing events every night. I've had long days. They've been awesome. But then yesterday I knew that I needed to take a bit of time out just to unwind, switch off and do something that, you know, that's relaxing. And that to me is the yin and yang, the masculine and feminine. But yeah, there's this massive negative attachment to masculine energy, you know, and not just women, some men as well.
Loads of guys. I mean, I've had guys who have left my group.
Yeah.
Like, as you can tell, you know, I'm not your like more masculinity. Like, I'm very much like yourself.
Yeah.
For me, the modern man is all about that balance. It's getting that balance right. But I think a lot of guys have got that balance, the flip side where it's all about being soft and gentle and everything else like that. And as soon as you start being direct, and more of the issue is as soon as you start talking about masculinity. Like, there's guys that are just like, well, we don't need to talk about that. We're all the same. Like, it's masculinity is dangerous. We don't even need to talk about it. Children don't need to know about it. People don't need to hear about it. Talking about it is bad. But you go, well, what about femininity? And they're like, yeah, but women can talk about femininity. That's fine. And you're like, whoa. For me, my personal development journey really started when I figured out that I needed to reconnect with my masculine energy, because it's a huge part of who I am. I'm a man. Yep. And if you feel negatively about that, your personal development, you're going to struggle to step above into that humanity area, like the pinnacle of personal development, like where you can connect with everybody. I think, first of all, you need to deal with how you feel about yourself, right? And I think you can't deny that society and your living, your life has got nothing to do with being a man. It's a huge part of who you are. I think a lot of the women that I work with as well have the same thing, that they want to reconnect with their femininity. They've got a total negative thought process and feeling about their femininity.
But do you think what I've noticed with this attachment to masculine energy is actually like people just being direct, like, yes, and direct in the sense of, you know, listen, you know, we've got one life where, you know, time is so precious.
Yep.
And we're trying to help people grow and evolve and help them achieve the things that they want to achieve.
Yes.
Sometimes we just got to be honest. And not just with other people, but with ourselves. Like, we have to be, at times, brutally honest with ourselves. Like, this is what I want, but am I doing the actions that I need to be doing to get what I want out of my life?
Yeah.
And if the answer is no, then I need to step up. I need to look at that and why I'm not doing that. And that, when I say that to people, that's the...
painful.
It is painful, but they've attached it. That's a masculine energy.
Yeah.
Like, that's not masculine energy. Like, that's just people being straight. Yeah, being truthful. I think so many people in society don't like that because it shakes the core of them, because there's so many people living a life that's not really what they want.
Personally, I would agree with them. Personally, I think that is masculine energy. It is.
Yeah.
I think the issue comes when we see it as being something negative.
Yeah.
Because then you've got that feminine energy, which is about that nurturing, the more kind of like gentle side of personal development, where, do you know what? Actually, sometimes people do just need a hug if they're going through something.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
as you just said, the hustle and flow, the yin and the yang, there's times for both, right? And there's times where people just need to be told to get on with it. I'm in a challenge at the moment, a 5-day challenge with one of the women that I do a lot of work with. I'm in her LinkedIn mastermind group, and she is a very direct woman. And we're in this like 5-day challenge. There's 2,000 people in there, and like, she's just telling people what to do. Like, she's like, do this, it will work. And she's very like, she's got a lot of masculine energy when she does it. It's just like, this, just do what you're told. But the resistance to it is really quite funny to watch. And people are like, oh, you're being mean to me. And it's like, nah, we're trying to help you earn some money.
Yeah.
For free.
No, listen, it's, you know, and I've learned this from Bob Proctor, because, you know, he will, you know, the thing that he says is, you know, you've got to be coachable.
Yeah,
you've got to do it. If I'm going to work with you, you need to be coachable, and you need to do exactly what I tell you. Yeah. And if you're not willing to do that, then I'm not going to work with you, because he values his time.
Yeah,
you know, like, I know I'm here for a short period of time on this planet, and I want to make as much impact as I can. And the only way I can do that with the right people is the people that will listen and do what I tell them. You know, and that. But then it'll be direct. But then the nurturing comes afterwards. So it's the balance.
Yeah,
this is what you need to do, because you're messing around, or you're not taking this seriously, or what, you know, to almost like break, to shake you up enough to make you think about it. But then the nurturing comes afterwards with the way that, you know, we talk and we help them. You know, it's not just a...
So I've got a little question to ask you then about the kind of like the secret. And that is a sort of, you know, the law of attraction and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's quite a good example in our industry and in our world of people using it in the wrong way or completely kind of like missing the point, I guess, of the hustle and the flow. Like, you know, manifesting everything that you want and all that thing with positive mindset. I don't know. Talk to me about the reality of it, because that book is often misunderstood, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the misinterpretation of it is the fact that a lot of people think if they just sit and meditate all day that they'll create the life that they want.
Yeah,
you know, and that's what I see. The people that are not progressing forward. Where they, you know, for me, the reality is that yes, you have the visualization side.
Yep.
You know, we are, as Bob would say, we are the highest, you know, form of creation. We have an imagination for a reason.
Yeah.
And everything that's been created in front of everything that we see, like the table I'm sitting at right now, was once an idea in someone's head.
Yep.
Then became reality. And that's, you know, essentially what you're doing with that side of it. You know, you're building a picture in your mind of what you want, who you want to become. And then, you know, a lot of the visualization that I do and the meditation that I do is I'm already that person. But then from that, I'm then building a picture of, well, what does this guy do? How does this man look? You know, what actions, how does he speak to people? How does he treat people? But then from there, it's then about action.
Yep.
Taking action. You know, when I was homeless, I set myself two big goals, and that was to own my own home and to have a job with a company car, because I thought that's what I wanted at the time.
Cool.
And I did both within 14 months.
Big leap though from where you were.
Huge quantum leap. But I didn't just ask for it and then sit on my ass and do nothing. Like, I then took massive action. Now, I had no idea how I was going to achieve that, because that goal at that time was so big. I had no idea, but I just knew that if I just kept working, that things would start, you know, I'd start attracting the right circumstances and situations. And I did. Like, I worked towards it, and the right people came in my life, the right opportunities came in my life. And it's that, the balance of the two together then helps you create, you know, the life that you want. But it's, where I see people going wrong is that you know, if I sit and wish for it and ask for it and do nothing else, then it'll just come to me. Where it's, you know, it's not about it. And essentially what you're doing is, you know, as you're working through these different levels, what we call them, vibrations or frequencies, to get to where you want to go, you're coming up against what he calls paradigms. So limiting belief systems.
Yep.
Things that we've been conditioned as children. And it's about fighting through each of those at the time, you know, when you hit them. Because what happens with most people is that, you know, they have what they want, they're here, and then they get emotionally attached to what they're looking, you know, what they want to do. And then they hit the terror barrier. They get scared and they go right back to here. And they never get through the wall, which is why the visualization side and holding on to that image is so important, along with the action and getting uncomfortable. And again, that's another thing I hear a lot of people saying as well. But if it's supposed to just flow to me, I shouldn't cuff to get uncomfortable. It should just flow. And I'm like, no, like, you've got to get uncomfortable. Like,
you've got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Exactly, mate. Exactly. You know, and listen, and if it was that easy, we'd all be, you know, we'd all be doing it.
Yep.
So, you know, it's, it's an amazing, you know, Bob works with the universal laws, that's what he calls it, you know, it's phenomenal. It's, you know, the transformation in myself over the last year has just been.
I kind of, like, I'm probably a bit like you. I mean, I probably would have punched myself in the face for some of the things I know to be true now, or say and think, and some of the ideas that I share. And one of them actually is probably maybe a bit spiritual. So my journey has been through 3 years ago, I first went for hypnotherapy, and it opened up all those neural pathways to my unconscious and my conscious mind. It's kind of like, it was like going to the gym for my brain. And I then went and studied hypnotherapy and NLP and all of that stuff. And my connection to the universe, which is what I call it, and the RAS, and you know, my process is values, vision, goals. So understand what's important to you, create a vision, long-term vision for yourself, and then work that backwards. What do I have to do? I did a video just on Monday about exactly that. So that's the person who I want to be. 7 years ago, I started training to box again as an adult, and I I used to smoke, not a lot, but a little bit, you know, maybe 7 to 10 a day. And I was sat in my car having a cigarette. And I was on my way to the gym to box. And I was like, I want to be a boxer. Like, yeah. Boxers don't smoke. Yep. Why are you smoking? And that was the one of the first thought processes. And I wrote that down when I got back home that night. And I was just like, well, like, if you want, like, the sooner you can start taking up the habits and the behaviors of the person that you want to be, the quicker you're going to get there, right?
Yeah.
So that kind of awareness. But there is, for me, a connection between human beings and the universe. We do have an ability to kind of manifest stuff, but like, you're right, it doesn't mean sitting still to do that. There has to be a contribution and a work ethic behind it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, everything you've just said, that, you know, I agree with. And, you know, there's other people out there that teach the same things, but just in a slightly different way, you know, but ultimately it's the same. Yeah, I mean, I 100% believe in, I'm tapping into a source energy. And when I'm in alignment with who I am, then I attract the good that I desire, you know. And I now see that in my outward world, because the work I've done internally on my mind is now manifesting into reality. And in all ways, shapes and forms, you know, the type of people that I'm attracting, the opportunities I'm getting, you know, I mean, everything I'm doing now, I asked for.
What do you think stops people from doing the work? So I obviously come across a lot. My kind of like target market is guys. Weirdly enough, about 50% of my clients are women. Now a woman comes to me and she's like, "Hi Fidel, seen you about, really like your work, seen some of the reviews you've been getting, I want to work with you. How much is it? What do we have to do?" Bang. And they become a client. Guys will message me and they go, "Hi Fidel, how are you?" And I'm like, "I'm fine, man, but like obviously you've messaged me for a reason. How are you?" We go through this whole process, and then basically they kind of like, they ask me for a book recommendation.
Yeah.
Or can I point them in the direction of a website? Or can I do that? Like, they try their best to do it, to avoid doing the work. What do you think causes that kind of like resistance?
I mean, ultimately, I think, part of it is, or a huge part of it is our self-image.
Yeah.
How we, what we truly believe deep down that we can do or have. And if you're not, I mean, that's why to me mentorship is so important.
Right.
Like having someone that, for one, has what you want. Like we touched on that just before we started, you know, recording. You know, having someone come to me that says, "I can help you. You know, if my goal is to make," if we put it in the sense of money, for example, but, you know, if somebody comes to me and says, "I can help you make more money," and I'm like, "Cool, you know, I want to make 100 grand a year, 250 grand a year, whatever, you know, have you done that?" No. Right, so how can you show me how to do that if you've never done it for yourself?
Yeah.
And who's behind you? You know, who's mentoring you? Do you have a mentor? Is there somebody teaching you? No. Which is what I get every time. I'm like, right, okay. So having a mentor there, you know, for me, with Bob Proctor and his wife, Linda, who's, you know, been very, very successful in her own right in her industry. You know, these are people that have not only achieved what I'm looking to achieve, they're also willing to help me do that. So having someone that can show you the way and keep you on track along the way has been very important for me. That repetition of, you know, the true definition of a mentor, as Bob would put it, is that somebody that believes in you more than you believe in yourself.
Yeah.
So that repetition, for me, the mentors I've had over the last year, that repetition of believing in me and telling me and showing me that they believe in sticking by me, which is something I've never been used to because I've done everything on my own, is one side of it. It's very important to help change that self-image, because ultimately if we've been through a traumatic upbringing, or not even, I mean, there's people I meet that have had a good upbringing, but they've maybe lived had parents that were quite negative on their outlook of life, but everything else was fairly stable. That's been conditioned into them, so that when they come to want to achieve something, what they deem as being higher than where they are just now, they start hitting all these limiting beliefs, paradigms that ultimately stops them from being able to break through.
Yep. Yeah, that's what we do, man. The mentorship is like quite a big topic out there, isn't it?
Especially in, you know, I talk about this in my presentations. I'm like, you know, if you wanted to be an awesome basketball player, you'd want to learn, like, for somebody like LeBron James or back in the day, Michael Jordan. You know, if you wanted to be an awesome mixed martial artist, Conor McGregor or somebody like that to teach you, you know, you would want to learn, and we do that, you know, if you're, you know, training to be a boxer, who do you want to train with? Somebody that's been a boxer.
Yeah, so my coach is a professional boxer, a current professional boxer.
He's done it. Yeah, yeah. Whereas when we're
doing it, trying to teach
nuts. But when we look at, when we go into the realms of progressing in life, and whether it be personal development or business, you know, when you hear about people, and that, again, I think there's reasons for it as well, but people are so skeptical about it. And I think in part because there is so many coaches out there that really can't bring the people the success that they want because they're thinking about themselves. I meet so many people that are business coaches that really are just thinking about how much money can I make, not how can I help you. And that's a really big, for me, everything I do at my heart is about helping others. Like, my being fulfilled in my life now is all about helping others. And I do that in a variety of ways, not just in business, but voluntary people in my life. Like, I give, so everything that I'm looking to do for that person is to add value to their life. I'm looking to leave them with the impression of increase.
Do you think, you sound like you've landed in the place, a bit like the guy I was talking to, the guy earlier on, that's certainly a place where I am now, where you find your truth. Like, truly, you know that inside when you're in the place where you should be doing the work that you should be doing. And when you're in that slot, nothing else matters apart from carrying out those actions, which is usually helping others through using your skill set.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I know exactly where I am. And again, I was having a conversation with somebody about this the other day. If you look at anybody, so you can look at religion, right, whether you're religious or not, but everything, the message that's put across over religion is about serving others.
Yep.
If you look at very, very successful business people, everything that they talk about is about serving others and adding value to other people's lives. So, you know, success leaves clues wherever you are, you know. So, yeah, you know, and these people are all, you know, if you look at some of the people that I listen to, I mentioned Eric Thomas, another guy, Tom Bilyeu.
Is it the Zig Ziglar quote? If you help enough people get what they want, you will end up getting what you want, right?
Yeah, exactly. And when you fall into that place of, you'll know yourself because you're in that space, but it just brings a different meaning to life. You know, like the stuff I do now, man, it doesn't feel like work. No. Like it gives me more energy. It fills, you know, it lights me up knowing that I've impacted someone's life. Even in the smallest of ways, like it could be like I do some videos as well on social media, like, and I get messages from people from something I've shared for 2 minutes going, that helped my day, that really helped.
Interestingly enough, and this is something that happened to me, I had 3 days of it in it consecutively a couple of weeks ago. Do you ever get people being negative towards you for doing that?
Yeah.
A show off or a self-promoter or that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a few things flung at me over the last year. But in all honesty, I was waiting for it. I was hoping for it. Because I know, again, just because I've read and studied that many successful people, like they all say it. Like, if you've not got any haters, you're not doing it right.
It was interesting. I mean, and it hit me. I had an old friend of mine. He probably won't be listening to this, but like, I mean, he's probably one of my oldest, longest standing friends. And he kind of like took it upon himself to message me and tell me Like, I did a thing the other day that I want to speak to you about after this, actually, where I used to be a will writer, all right? And I recently moved into a small flat after separating from my wife, all very happily, and it's all good. But I've kind of, like, downsized. And I've got all these suits. I had, like, 15 suits, and I'm just like, I can't even remember the last time I wore this stuff. I'm never going to wear it. And I took a load off to a homeless place, and then I still had, like, 8 left, and I was like, I'm still not going to wear these. I need like 3. I need like my wedding and sort of going out suit. I need a plain suit, and I've got my tux. That's it. I don't need any more. I don't need these things. And I put a message out into the man club, and I said, guys, is there anyone here that needs a suit? And I sent them out. And what touched me was, actually, I got a bit of shit within the group. People were like, why don't you take them to the homeless people? There isn't anybody in this group that needs a suit that badly. And I was like, the messages were, you know, there's a hidden, especially for guys, because I've been through it myself, where you can have all the trappings. You can be in a 4-bedroom house with a car and be broke, on the breadline and stressed to the max, especially if you're in business. Like, money can disappear like that. And you're behind on your car payments, and you're just about making your mortgage. And the last thing you're going to do is go and buy yourself a suit. Like, but actually, depending on the line of work you're in, it's really important to still look good. And certainly for guys, for their own thing, you know, they do want to maintain their image, for good or bad. And anyway, I thought long and hard about putting a post out on social media, and I did that. It got a huge response, and it's something that we're going to roll out now as part of the Modern Man Club. We're going to get donation suits, and we're going to give them out to guys that need them, because it was really powerful.
Yeah.
And I put a post out about it, and then I did something else the next day, and I got this guy who said to me, you know, I've done a lot of studying, and I think you're a narcissist and a sociopath, because you're being very manipulative. You're putting these things out to manipulate. And it hit me hard. I was like, am I doing this? Because am I trying to make this all about me? I had to, you know, it did. It proper rocked me for a little bit. And I was like, because I do a lot of that, but actually, but for me, it's one of my talents. Like, people like to engage with me. People like my selfies. People like my videos. They engage with me. I get messages all the time where they say exactly that. Your video helped me. I got one this morning, really nice one. It's cheered me up. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know? And that's kind of like what you've got to remember, I guess.
Listen, I always see it like, you know, and it's been a work in progress, and it still is a work in progress.
Yeah.
You know, it's getting to the point where you no longer, it doesn't matter what the haters say. It doesn't matter what people say. When you know that what you're doing ultimately is to help others.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And when you get that, what helped me is the positive feedback I get.
Yeah.
If I know I've helped one person, that's all that matters. And I know I've helped more than that, because I've been, you know, I have people tell me that. And, you know, that's not an egotistical thing. Like, it's not, it's purely because it's what I love to do. Knowing that I can. It's the truth, you know. And I think when you and I battled with this for a while, my own belief in myself, and, you know, am I really being authentic? Am I being, you know, am I being in my truth? And that was just confidence in my own self-image that I worked on.
Yeah.
And, you know, now I know that everything that I say and do and share what I know is the difference in people. There's other guys like us or women that are out there doing similar things, but are not coming from a place of truth, is very easy to tell. You know, and I get asked about this as well from people that I work with. And I say that, I'm listening, everything that I share has been stuff that I've experienced.
Yeah.
I don't read a book and then take it on as my own. I'll maybe read a book and it inspires something in me that I then share. But everything up to this point in my life is what I'm sharing on how I've grown as a person. And how I've got through different things. That's all I'm doing. I'm just sharing my experience. And as I keep growing, I'll have more to share, because, like, none of us are there. It's a constant. I mean, Bob's 85 today. Right?
Happy birthday, Bob. I will send him a message.
he still studies every day.
Of course. Because he's wise man.
Exactly. So, you know, it's a work in progress. But, when you come from, I actually heard a really interesting quote recently. I might butcher it, but it was something along the lines of, if you've got haters still watching you or following you, they're actually fans, secret fans.
Secret fans. They love it, really. What reminded me, I almost fell into the trap of doing that sort of passive-aggressive thing afterwards, was that Brené Brown is got the brilliant documentary out at the minute. And she said, you know, she done a talk about the first person that attacked her, and it's like she had 160 kind of like supportive messages, and then there was one that just went bam. And she was just like, do you know what? If you're not in the arena, if you're not out here, I'm not interested in your feedback.
Yeah.
I'm just not. You've got there are some people's feedback that's important.
Yeah.
But there are many more people's feedback. It's just irrelevant. It's just irrelevant. You don't need it. Like, you know, I'm not interested in your feedback unless you're out there, unless you know what it's like to be vulnerable and putting yourself out there for that and in that position. Unless you've been there and done that or prepared to do it, I'm not interested.
Yeah, exactly, man. So if you don't like my stuff, stop following me.
Yeah.
Stop causing yourself pain.
Okay, mate, listen, we've got to wind it up a little bit now. I'm going to be. You've given me one quote that I'm going to love. I will continue to rate it back to you. That hustle and flow. I know there's a movie of the same name, but I love that idea, that concept. And that's a great way of summing it up. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing at the moment. How people can kind of like engage with you. What are your current projects, and how can people get hold of you?
Yeah, sure. I'm doing a project within schools at the moment, which will be kicking off again in August, that we basically go in, there's 18 of us on the project that go into schools and hear our own story. And then they get a chance to ask us questions, and we do breakout sessions. So that's something that I'll be continuing to do. And, you know, a lot of it's based around mental health and stuff as well.
Is that just in Scotland that you're doing that?
It's just in Scotland at the moment, yeah. The project is actually the only project of its kind within the UK. Which absolutely blows me away, because it's so powerful and the statistics that we've got back. So I think there is other places looking at it. So I'm hoping that will...
I'd like to have a conversation with you about that. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And then business-wise, as I mentioned, I'm working with Bob and Linda Proctor. Linda Proctor, so the mentorship comes from Bob, the business side is Linda. And we're essentially building a community and a team within the UK that is in a vehicle to help people create a lifestyle, earn more, multiple streams income. That's everything Bob teaches, you know, at the heart. He's all about multiple streams income. Yeah. Linda works in a vehicle that does that, so we're very much channeled in that way, working with her. So, yeah, we're building a team and community of people that want to grow personally. So it's personal development at the heart of it. It's showing people how they can make multiple streams income and create a lifestyle that is different from the 9 to 5. You know, it's about time, freedom, and travel. And surround. For me, the most important part is the team. You know, we're creating a group of people that just want to live a good life. They want to help others. And you know, that's again.
What's that organisation called? How can people get involved with that?
So they can reach out to me on Instagram or Facebook and find out more. We're part of the team with Linda's Team Diamond Global Network.
Yeah,
is what we're called. So but if people want to find out more about what I'm doing, they can reach out to me through Instagram and get Simon.King82, and then my Facebook page is just Simon King. It's open, so anybody can reach out to me there and get in touch.
Cool. Thank you very much, Simon. It's been brilliant. I want to carry on having this conversation with you. I am definitely planning a trip to Scotland soon to see my mucker, Gordon Frew, so I'm going to come and spend a few days out there. Good to catch up with you and have a pint of tennis or whatever with you. Wicked. Thanks very much for your time, Simon. Thank you, everybody else, for tuning in and listening to another episode of the Modern Man Podcast. Hope you got some value from that. I certainly did. Obviously, you can connect with the Modern Man Club on Facebook. Just search that up, the Modern Man Club. I'm the Modern Man Coach, or Fidel Boho. You can find me on Facebook. We've got our final project going on in the gym tomorrow morning at the Bristol Fitness Gym. the Modern Man Club session in there, where we'll be doing some more self-defense work and a good conversation afterwards for men only. So if you want to get involved, look up the Modern Man Club on Facebook and get in touch with me as well. Thanks very much for your time, and we will be back next week. Yeah.